Matthew 26, if you need an outline, please raise your hand and Chuck will make sure you get one. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. Great to see you. Are you encouraged? I'm just encouraged hearing Dr. Angotti talk about what's going on there, giving to God. Well, that's great. All right. I went to therapy the other day, took my wife with me, which I don't know if that was a good idea or not, you know. And Dr. Kate looked at me and she said, no more walker, get rid of the walker. I like the walker, you know, there's something, had a little deal, I could put my stuff in it and everything. So we thank the Lord for good therapists, I'll tell you what, so far so good. All right, Matthew chapter 26, I like to read verse 69 through 75 and ask and answer the question, what in the world happened to Peter? By the time we get to Matthew 26, his reserve tank, his resilience is empty. It is gone. Follow the text with me, would you please, to read along or silently as I read this. Matthew 26, beginning with verse 69 at the end of the chapter. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a little servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." Verse 70, what's it say? But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." How did he get to this point? Verse 71, and when he went on to the entrance, and he's in the courtyard of the high priest, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again, verse 72, he denied it with an oath. It's getting more intense. "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you two are one of them, for your accent, the way you talk, betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear. It's even more intense. "I do not know the man." Immediately, the rooster crowed. And Peter, what's that next word? Remembered. That's going to be strong in 1 and 2 Peter. Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Let's have a prayer first. Father, you've told us that the things that were written down in the past were written for our learning. And it's our prayer through the Holy Spirit that we would learn the lessons you want us to learn. And we're thankful that even though this is very embarrassing, Peter, this was recorded for us four times. And then Peter would give us more lessons in 1 and 2 Peter. May we have ears to hear and hearts to obey. And Father, we always ask if there's someone here this morning who has never trusted Christ, that this would be that glorious day when they turn from darkness to light and join the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. When I moved to York, we had six children. We still do, but they were living with us. And we had to buy a bigger house. And one of the men over at COD said to me, "You know, Dave, a good idea for you would be to set up an emergency fund." That was before I ever heard of Dave Ramsey. Set up an emergency fund. Put the money away, because it's a good idea, right, Chuck? Because if your HVAC system ever blows up on you, or if the roof caves in, or if something else happens, you will have an emergency fund. And then he said to me this, and Neil said to me this. He said, "You know what? If you have to use your emergency fund, make sure you build it back." He wanted us to have resilience. I said before, by the time we get to Matthew chapter 26, Peter's emergency fund had been spent. He is empty. He has no more resilience. The man who had stood up for Christ was just empty. And he collapsed. How many are nervous? And Dr. Mitchell, Jamie was here a couple weeks ago. He's out preaching today. This morning on the life of David. But Jamie was telling us how he's concerned because the president is spending all the reserve gasoline, and that's not a good thing. You need to build that back. And I'm learning that coming out of the COVID years, resilience is more serious than we thought. And we're not sure how this is really, really going to affect us. And sometimes we act more like a camel than a horse. I mentioned the camel last week. A camel, I read, can go 1,000 steps without taking in water, but then sometimes they just collapse. That's it, because no one's filling up the tank. Horses, by the way, I understand, will let you know when they are thirsty. Other than Judas, Peter's denials represent the greatest failure of the disciples. When Jesus, from a human perspective, needed them more than ever before, they were empty. But on the other hand, there are those reading this account that are going to read 1 and 2 Peter, that read 1 and 2 Peter, that had denied Christ as well. And the thoughts here, if Peter can be restored after a failure like this, there's hope for us. Amen? There's hope for us. So there's bad news, but there's great news as well. And I want to give you this morning, they're on your notes, on your outline, I want to give you some discipleship lessons, because I believe Peter went through this, recorded this, so we could learn. And when he gets to 2 Peter, and we're going to start 2 Peter a few weeks from now, I keep saying that, but I believe 2 Peter is a manual as to how to maintain and promote spiritual resilience in a day when we really, really need it. All right, five lessons, and the question we're asking is, what happened to Peter? What happened to Peter? How could a man who's going to be the proposed leader of the church, who just confessed Christ as Messiah, end up denying him? What was going on here? What's really going on? And the more I study this, the more I think about this, I'm not sure I have an answer for you, but we'll try a little bit, and I'll give you a few. Here's five lessons for you. And a big point this morning is that you will maintain and continue to pursue spiritual resilience when certain things are true in our life. We need these. I need these. You need these. Let me walk through these with you for a few moments. Number one, you will maintain and continue to build up that spiritual resilience tank when, here it is, you are more concerned about honoring the Lord than you are about your own life. That's a big one. Yet when you are more concerned about honoring the Lord than you are about your own life, when your preferences, your comfort culture really do not matter. It's God and God alone. Christ first. And this is where Peter and the disciples initially failed. And we do today as well. This is the fruit of self-denial, honoring the Lord. And it involves a continuous moment-by-moment decision. All this stuff we're going to talk about today is like manna. You can't store it up. It needs to be replenished continually. You can't rely on the past, no matter how good the past has been. This involves our entire lives coming under the lordship of Christ. It is a process. It is growth in grace and knowledge. And when you fall, you need to repent and get walking again, okay? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. The beginning of 1 Peter 3, verse 15, Peter says, "But set apart, but in your heart, honor Christ the Lord as holy." Go back, if you would, with me to Matthew chapter 10, and then I'm going to go to Matthew 16 for a moment, but this is where some of these principles were laid out. Matthew chapter 10, and Peter heard this firsthand. Matthew chapter 10, 37, 38, and 39. And these are hard sayings, but this is putting God first. Jesus says to his disciples, to us, Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Matthew chapter 10, verse 38, and whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And verse 39, whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What's that about? Honoring the Lord first and foremost. priority one. Matthew chapter 16, let me find it here, verse 26. Matthew 16, verse 26. Jesus said, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" And Dr. Marshall, I thought it was so cool, if I could say it that way, that you use the lesson of the thief on the cross to present the gospel. I mean, that is just so crystal clear. When our Lord needed Peter to stand strong, Peter seemed to be concerned more about his own life, saving his own hide, than he did about honoring the Lord. Honoring the Lord first is necessary for maintaining spiritual resilience. And if you don't think we need to talk about spiritual resilience, we really, really do. Because it could be getting rough soon for us. And it's necessary for all of us to take constant inventory. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 has been memorized by a lot of you here. But Romans chapter 12, verse 1 calls for a constant decision on our part, a constant dedication on our part. I'm reading through, and it's going to take me forever. Professor John Murray, he's with the Lord, he taught at Westminster Seminary for years, wrote one of the definitive works on Romans. And he said, I was reading Romans 12, 1, and what he had to say. He said, here's a constant decision for dedication. Paul says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, what? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. That's not a one-time decision. That's a continual decision to offer our bodies, our lives as a sacrifice, putting God first, letting him know we're at his disposal. You are more concerned about honoring the Lord than you are about your own life. You'll maintain spiritual resilience. Let me give you a second lesson here. I believe we will maintain and continue to pursue spiritual resilience when you are diligent to watch and pray, or you are careful in practicing spiritual disciplines. Y'all know that. You are diligent to watch and pray, or you are careful in practicing, that's continuous, the spiritual disciplines. Go back to Matthew chapter 26. Let me read this section to you. Matthew chapter 26, picking up in verse 36. Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 36. And all the scripture is serious, you know this, but we're in a very serious point in our Lord's life as he's moving toward the cross. And Jesus says this to his disciples. He's instructing them. He's warning them. And where they should be paying attention, they're not. Then Jesus, verse 36, went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And it's still a mystery to us, isn't it, that the Son of God, God himself, is still praying. Needs to do this. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here, watch with me." Pay attention, stay alert. Peter didn't get it there, but he get it later on when he's writing 1 Peter chapter 5. Going a little farther, Jesus fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples, and he found them what?
Sleeping.
What did he tell them to do? Watch. Pray. And he said to them, Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour?" The big picture is in verse 41, by the way. Watch and pray so that you may not enter into temptation. And the opposite is true, right? You fail to watch, you fail to pray, you will enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Then verse 42, for the second time, he went and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Verse 43, again, Jesus came and found them doing what? Sleeping. Their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, you see where it's not just Peter. They're all shot. All the resilience is gone. He went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. And he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep, take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let's be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Again, we find them sleeping when the Lord needed them to be diligent. He warned them, verse 41, watch and pray. You're going to enter into temptation. And there's a contrast here. There's a couple contrasts here. We're going to find out when the Lord went to his betrayers, the Lord Jesus, humanly speaking, was prepared. What was he doing? He was watching. He was praying. He was tuning up his heart. He was filling up his tank, if I can put it that way. Often, when spiritual disciplines are neglected, and we think we can rely on the past, self-confidence takes over, or a type of spiritual lethargy or numbness, and we end up where we don't want to be. And often when spiritual disciplines are neglected, we can end up following Christ like Peter would, from a distance where we think it's safe. By the way, what are spiritual disciplines? You know what they are, maybe you don't. You could call them spiritual healthy habits if you like. They will, if done right, fill up your tank, fill up your reserves, keep you resilient, ready to bounce back when trouble comes, and trouble always comes. Let me just name the top three. I have to involve myself, and you know this because I talk about it to you often, I have to involve myself in not spiritual disciplines, but physical exercises every day, at least 2 to 3 times a day, if I'm going to walk again. I didn't know that. I didn't know when you went through something like this. I thought, you know, you go through surgery number one, you go through surgery number two, and then, hey, go run away and play again. Have fun. I thought that's how it was going to be. And my wife and my daughter say, no, they told you all about it, but they had me so drugged up, I didn't hear a word they said. All right, you know that. They said, I remember the last time I went to the surgeon, he took this cane, he threw it at me. He said, go walk. I couldn't move. I had to go to therapy. I'm going to therapy. Rehab, or whatever you want to call it. You know, I never knew the place was there. You know, even Dr. Cohen, he didn't even know it was there. I said, Doc, I'm going over. He never heard of it. You will someday. I hope you don't have to. But if I'm going to walk again, I have to involve myself in physical exercise, good habits, 2 to 3 times a day. I can't say, well, I did it yesterday. I don't have to do it today. I got earlier this morning, and I was down on the floor. My wife said to me, are you doing your prayers? No, I'm doing my exercises. All right. She's a first grade teacher. You just can't lie to her. You try. But you know what? If I'm going to be resilient, if you're going to be resilient in these coming days, and I'll tell you what, the guys I read say things are going to get tougher. We haven't seen anything yet. And we need to be watching and praying and getting our tanks full and working on spiritual resilience. Big time. There needs to be, here they are. I didn't write them on your outline. Maybe Tim will put them on up here. I don't know. But you know these. I'm not going to tell you anything new. I need a constant daily intake of the Word of God. Bible study, Bible reading. Not for knowledge or for facts alone, but to transform our minds. Romans 12:2 tells us to do that, right? Do not be conformed to this world. Every time I listen to anything in the media, unless it's Christian radio station, I have to watch those guys sometimes too. Anytime I'm listening to anything, I'm in the process of allowing my mind to be conformed to the system. Whether it's politically conservative or not, it'll conform my mind to man's way of thinking. The Word of God says, I need to be transformed by what? You know this. The renewal of your mind. And that takes daily work. I need daily renewal. I need daily cleaning. You do too. I need to have God's perspective on life. And like I said before, like manna, you can't store it for the next day. What happened when they were like me? They started hoarding the manna. What happened? I found that there's a new critter at my house. Did I tell you about this one? There's a new bug I discovered. And it's a tiny little thing. It has a face like a demon, all right? And I didn't know what it was. And my buddy in New Jersey, I was talking to him. I said, hey, Roger, I got this new thing in the house, and it looks like a demon. It looks like a cricket, but it doesn't make any noise. He said, oh, you have spider crickets. I have spider crickets. So you know what they are? What?
Do they
mock?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I went online and I looked up spider crickets, cave crickets, and man, they have that demonic face. So I'm catching them all the time. Why am I talking about that? I don't know. It's not in my notes here. Stick to the script, so stick to the script. All right? The Word of God. I was thinking about, yeah, manna, right. If they hoarded the manna the next day when they were told not to, it was full of worms. It was just rancid. All right? And like the Word of God, you know, it's good. You can store the Word of God in your heart for sure, but we need it daily. We need daily nourishment here. Second thing I want to mention, the second discipline is prayer. And prayer is really our hearts communing with the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Spirit of God. Prayer, by the way, you know this, I will tell you, prayer is hard work. If you don't believe this, come talk to me afterwards. Maybe you can help me out this thing. How many times do you decide to have an effective prayer life and you're going to set a certain time to pray, and what happens? Anything happens. And your heart is, like Peter, your heart means well. You want to do the right thing. You know, Doc gets up here with the prayer cards. Yeah, we're going to pray for each other every day. Yeah, we're going to do this. Yeah, we're going to pray for our missionaries. And you know what? The time goes by. Or you ever tried getting in bed and praying? You'll be sleeping like the disciples. Yeah, that was their problem. Maybe I don't know if they're laying down or not. Prayer is hard work. And that's why I'm watching a little video. We're probably going to show it sometime with Pastor Jim Cimbala. You know Pastor Jim Cimbala from the church, Brooklyn Tabernacle? They're just known for prayer, and they work hard at it. They know it is a spiritual battle. They know that Satan and the demonic realm wants to do everything but pray, because they know, the demonic realm knows how powerful prayer is. Prayer is an important spiritual discipline. And I'll tell you, I sure appreciate Nancy and Jeff keeping prayer meeting hot during these last couple months, praying for missionaries, praying for needs, keeping it going. The third discipline I want to mention, and there's probably a lot of other disciplines out there if you study it, look it up. There's the Word of God, there's prayer, and I think community is very important. This is the fellowship of the church, the fellowship with believers, not just attending a meeting, but getting together for mutual encouragement and exhortation and ministering to one another, all the one another's in the New Testament. You know, the early church saw the fellowship as absolutely essential for survival. And Tim mentioned, he was mentioning a passage in Hebrews this morning. You know, in Hebrews, the believers were drifting away from one another. They weren't meeting. And the author of Hebrews says, don't do that. Don't do that. Because if you stop meeting, you are going to drift. You're going to be involved in spiritual problems. Great time of year, by the way, to renew your commitment to spiritual disciplines and just get involved. Pick up one of those calendars and start writing dates down. That'd be great. You'll maintain and you'll continue to pursue spiritual resilience when you are serious to watch and pray, careful in practicing spiritual disciplines. There's another one, and these are basic. Here's another principle for you. I believe we'll maintain and continue to pursue spiritual resilience when we, thirdly, we just keep the right, boy, we're running out of time, keep the right company. Matthew 26, 69. For some reason, we find Peter in the wrong place at the wrong time, hanging around the wrong people. Who was he hanging around with?
Well, let's look at the text. Okay, let's go back there. Matthew 26, verse 16. Let's pick it up back there, right? He's outside in the courtyard. And who does he allow to intimidate? This is the sad part. Who does he allow himself to be intimidated by? A young servant girl. And if you read the account of four Gospels, the three synoptics of John, these are young servant girls. Sometimes it lists the same one, sometimes it lists several. Like, wait a minute. Man, he's the guy who just tried to cut off the soldier's ear in another section. He's with the wrong people at the wrong time in the wrong place. It says in verse 69, he is sitting. And the tense of the verb there, it's continual sitting. Here's another contrast. Jesus is, because he is resilient, because he is prayed up, watched up, he's enduring victory over the leaders of Israel. Peter was failing because of the young girls. Why was Peter there? Why was Peter there? Curiosity? We don't know. But by his own choice, I think he made a poor decision, was in a place of maximum temptation, unprepared. Psalm 1 would have been memorized by Peter. What's Psalm 1 say? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Peter was there. Nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. On his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all he does, he prospers. Peter was not doing that at all. I wrote myself a note here, by the way. Keeping right company includes watching our thought life. We may be in a good place, and we may not be hanging around with bad company, but I'll tell you what, you know, we can lie to ourselves, and we can, particularly during this time of year, and that's why the little book on the table is good, The Emotions of Christmas, really helpful, because we can just meditate on a wrong thing. Somebody did something to us. Something happened to us years ago. We can start just thinking the wrong thing, believing the wrong thing, believing the wrong thoughts, and get involved in the wrong places. Number four, let me give you two more quickly. You'll maintain and continue to pursue spiritual resilience when, unlike Peter, you carefully listen. You carefully listen. We pay attention. That doesn't seem that profound, does it? But it's important. In Matthew 26, Jesus could not have been clear with Peter and the disciples. Matthew 26, 31, Jesus says to the disciples, "You will all fall away because of me this night. Because it's written, I will strike the shepherd, the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I'm raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." And Peter answered him. Right after Jesus dictated this, mandated this, really, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Peter wasn't listening. Jesus said to him, "Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." I'm wondering, did Peter even hear what he was saying? I don't think so. Sometimes she's not here. Your wife ever say you're not listening? Yeah, I'm listening. No, you're not. It means paying attention. Have both ears open. Very close attention. Taking to heart. Serious here. Being alert. And then the fifth one here is going to be really hammered in 2 Peter. If you want to maintain spiritual resilience and fill up the tank, you will make every effort not only to carefully listen, but number five, there's a difference here. You'll make every effort to remember. You'll make every effort to remember. Turn to 2 Peter 1, or I'll read this, because this is Peter's ministry in his last years. Peter is going to go out of his way to make sure that people remember. He's going to say the same thing over and over and over and over. We want to hear new stuff. Peter says, nuh-uh, you need to hear the old stuff so you don't forget it. 2 Peter chapter 1, 12, 13, 14, 15. Follow this with me. Peter would fail because he refused to remember Christ's words. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities. Though you know them and you're established in truth that you have, I think it right, verse 13, as long as I am in this body, as long as I am alive, he says, to stir you up by way of reminder. Since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus made clear to me, verse 15. It's even stronger here. And Lord willing, we'll cover this in greater detail when we get to this chapter. Peter says, I will make every effort. I will go out of my way. I will do whatever it takes so that after I'm gone, after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. And you'll see that theme throughout 2 Peter. Remembering. Remembering. You'll make every effort to remember. Well, let me try to answer the question quickly. Why did Peter end up denying the Lord Jesus for a brief moment? You know, we talked about there was a failure to watch and pray. Maybe that was a reason. He was in the wrong place with the wrong company. I think that, you know, was part of it. He failed to listen to Jesus. That was obviously a part of it. But I think bottom line, he forgot. He forgot. He's saying, how could he forget? How can he forget? Well, you know what? When you're in the wrong place, when your resilience isn't there, when the pressure comes on, good people can do the wrong thing. A lot of us have done the wrong thing when we should have done the right thing. He forgot. His resilience was gone. And I guess I wrote this also. We may not fully know what's going on here until we're with the Lord and we're with Peter. But you know, the good news is, we'll look at this next week, Lord willing, Peter repented and was gloriously restored. And Sue and I were talking about this the other day. You know, if the Lord can restore Peter and use him, he can restore and use anybody and everybody. Isn't that true?
Amen.
Isn't that true? That is a glorious truth of the gospel of grace. And we need to learn to be more gracious sometimes because we're not with people. I tell you what, Peter was not only restored, but he was put into a place of prime time leadership. Would you put Peter as the head of your church, your organization? I would say, you know what, Peter's a good guy. He's pretty smart, but what if he ends up denying us again or bailing out? No, he was fully restored and used gloriously. His failure, by the way, is still being used for our success. I want to read from Romans 13 as we end the service this morning. Romans 13, 11 to 14. Reading from Romans a lot these days. Listen to these words. All right, or open your own Bible. Romans 13, beginning with 11. Paul reminds us that we're living in urgent days, and we are. Paul says, besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake up from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand, so then let us cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light, let us walk properly as in the daytime. And he's saying this to Christians. Not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but verse 14, and this is written to you and me. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provisions for the flesh to gratify its desires. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for recording Peter's failure and the disciples' failure. And recording your grace to remind us that no one is beyond the grace of God. No one is beyond forgiveness if they come and repent and trust Christ. And thank you for Dr. Angotti's reminder that that thief on the cross deserving hell was given the free gift of eternal life for simply looking at Christ, simply taking Christ at his word. Sins forgiven in paradise, all because of Jesus. And Lord, I ask again, if there's anyone here this morning who does not know Christ, may think they're beyond forgiveness, may think they've done too many bad things. Father, remind us, remind them that you love us. Christ died for us, and that none of us could be good enough. None of us deserve heaven. It's all because of Jesus. And give them the strength to run from whatever they're holding on to and believe in Christ, and Christ alone. And Lord, we pray that you would use all of us during this season of the year when people are thinking about Christmas. Use us, Lord, to get the gospel out. Thank you for great literature you provided. Thank you for opportunities. And Father, may we just be faithful. Use us, Lord. Use us. So that one day we can stand before Christ and he can say, well done. Well done. Thank you, Lord, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.